Hello and welcome to OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Global Voices.
A podcast bringing to you the voices and ideas of open educators from around the world.
OEG Voices is produced by Open Education Global,
a member-based nonprofit organization
supporting the development and use of open education globally.
Learn more about us at oeglobal.org.
There's much to take in at a global level.
We hope to bring you closer to how open education is working
by hearing the stories of practitioners
told in their own voices.
Each episode introduces you to a global open educator,
and we invite you to later engage in conversation with them
in our OEG Connect community.
Welcome to another OEG Voices podcast, and I'm your host today, Alan Levine, and I'm really happy that I'm here with my colleague, Una Daly. So say hello, Una. How are you doing today?
Hey, Alan. I'm thrilled to be here with these amazing OER folks from Arizona.
Yeah, this is really exciting because, one thing we want to do is definitely feature more of the work going on at community colleges, but also the idea about bringing in kind of this regional perspective. So this is kind of a new format that we're going to be doing. And it's really special to me because we're visiting Arizona down there in the corner of Southwest US. I lived there a long time. I started my career there. That's where Lisa and I first met. And I'm really excited that we're going to be welcoming colleagues from Maricopa, Pima Community College, and Yavapai Community College. And we really want to hear about the work that they're doing and some of the things that are going on like across the state. So this is like looking at the landscape of open education at Arizona community colleges. So I'm going to ask, I'll ask everyone just to say hello, where you are, what you do, and if you feel like it, say something really unique about this part of Arizona that you live in that maybe the tourists don't know about. So I'm going to pick on my friend Lisa Young because it's so wonderful to see you again here and to be able to work with you as an OE Global board member. So tell us about yourself and what you're doing right now, Lisa.
Hey, Alan, it's great to see you. Alan and I have known each other for decades, and he is responsible for getting me into open educational resources back in the early turn of the century when we were involved with reusable learning objects and had a blast with that. So my role is I am the faculty administrator for open education and innovation at the Maricopa Community Colleges. I have been involved in OER formally for the Maricopa Community Colleges for the last 10, almost 10 years. It's going to be 10 years very soon next year. And originally from Rhode Island, something that is very interesting about Arizona, since I'm a hydrologist, is that the water rights of the Phoenix area were written into the Constitution of the state of Arizona.
See, I didn't even know that, Lisa, so thank you. I'll next turn, because we're at Maricopa, to Lisa's colleague, Matthew Bloom. And so welcome to the show, Matthew.
Hi, yeah, I'm Matthew Bloom. I'm English faculty at Scottsdale Community College. I was formerly the OER coordinator for Open Maricopa for 3 years, and I have been on the Open Maricopa steering team since about 2014. And I'm not sure, I think the thing that comes to mind, if you have ever visited Arizona, then you may know this. Usually we're just known for a giant hole in the ground called the Grand Canyon and a like Sora cactus. But there's actually a really diverse landscape across the state. It's not just the Sonoran Desert, but you have really, really beautiful high country, lots of mountains. And so it's actually one of the most beautiful, some of the most beautiful places I've ever visited in this state.
That's very true, Matthew, because I used to live up on the rim in Strawberry, and it would blow people's mind when I tell them that we had snow. So with that, we will continue on Northern Arizona. We'll go over to Megan Crossfield, who's at Yavapai Community College. Welcome, Megan.
Hello, thank you so much for having me here. Very excited to be here and represent not only Yavapai College, but also our Open Textbooks for Rural Arizona Consortium. So I am the manager of academic initiatives and special projects at Yavapai College. And one of the projects I'm working on is leading our Open Textbooks for Rural Arizona initiative, which is a open textbook pilot grant funded through the Department of Education. And it consists of all 8 rural Arizona colleges. And so we really wanted to focus on rural Arizona because it is, you know, a different population that we serve. They're smaller colleges. So, you know, smaller amount of resources. And so being able to collaborate together and really focusing on the different student populations that focus on those within those institutions. And to go off of what Matthew was saying, you know, we're located up in more northern Arizona. I'm fairly new to the area. I previously came from the Bay Area in California. And so I was not expecting it to be cold during the winter. So that's something that many people think, you know, Arizona hot, which it is. But there are parts of Arizona that do get cold, especially during the winter time.
Right. And there's also like the proper way to say Prescott, right?
Yes. My husband grew up in Prescott and he always says it's Prescott, like biscuit, not Prescott.
Yeah, that's right. And we're going to like go from Prescott down south to Tucson. And there's a little bit of irony. If I remember right, when Arizona was settled, like, you know, Prescott was like the territory capital. And obviously Tucson had been settled long ago. And when they had to pick a state capital, instead of fighting over, they picked something in the middle where nothing was. And that's how Phoenix got to be the capital. At least that's what I think I remember. But enough of my trivia. Welcome, Josie Milliken from Pima Community College. And let us know a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Thank you. Great to be here. Josie Milliken, Dean of Distance Education at Pima Community College in Tucson, Arizona. And to Matthew's point about the landscape and diverse climate, the first and only times I've been skiing is at Mount Lemmon here in Tucson, Arizona, and a beautiful little ski area up there that may not get snow too often, but when it does, it's absolutely beautiful. And I've lived in Washington State, Utah. So, yes, but didn't start skiing until Tucson. And then I would also, however, want to share our monsoon, which is a lot of people think of Tucson and they think basically sand and saguaro cacti. However, from June 15th through September 30th of every year, we have our annual monsoon where we get these absolutely beautiful storms and rain and sunsets. And it's very dramatic and our temperatures drop several degrees within a very short period of time. And in fact, this last monsoon, we gained about 4.94 inches of rain when the average rainfall in Tucson for a year is approximately 11.92. So that gives you a sense of how much rain we get within this, within our summers. And so that's one thing a lot of people may not realize about Tucson, Arizona, and also other parts of Arizona, including up north in Phoenix.
That's very true. So, you know, when you don't like the weather, you just drive somewhere else for a couple hours, and that's how it goes. But yeah, the diversity is really beautiful there. So moving on, let's maybe get a sense about like what's going on in terms of projects, interest in open education at your individual institutions. And maybe since we'll reverse order and start in Tucson and Pima Community College. And Josie, like what are things that are sitting on your plate right now in terms of open education at Pima?
We have made substantial progress in the last year, particularly. We started off, of course, with our Achieving the Dream initiative, which we can speak more about later. And then we've always pursued it, and the majority of the cost savings and the work has happened on our distance education side with the Achieving the Dream, the development of these courses. And then last year, OER, expanding OER, was part of our college's strategic goals. And so I had the honor and the pleasure of being an owner of that goal, and so or a sub-owner. And so we participated in the 2021-2022 AACNU IOER Institute with a real diverse selection of members from our institution, which helped us get the year off to a great start in terms of our planning for the year that followed. And then from that work in the fall of last year, we developed an OER task force because we wanted to expand this initiative college-wide, rather it being consolidated amongst a team of approximately 5 to 6 people. And so this task force was our way of doing so and achieving all of these goals, which related to the registrar, course markers, data aggregation, and all of that. So we also, in that work, what happened to coincide and came about, and I'm sure this group is very aware of this, in February, the Department of Education release some modified language related to what could be used for HERF funding for OER. And so knowing that the end of the year was coming up in May, the co-chair of the task force and I worked together to put in place a HERF-funded OER fellowship awards offer. And so what that did was that it gave about 45 faculty the opportunity for a certain stipend to research OER materials for their courses, to replace other materials. We scheduled in 2 workshops for faculty to attend as part of this initiative. We had a guest speaker who was our mentor for the AACNU OER Institute, who's Dr. Barbara Ilowski out of California, very well known. And so that all of those pieces came together to create this whirlwind of awareness and education all throughout Pima Community College, and also clear up a lot of misinformation about OER. And that has put us in a place. We developed a provost report related to our task force recommendations. And the task force actual name was Open Education at Pima, because we didn't want to restrict it simply to OER, because there's such a lot of OER encompasses so many different things. And a lot of people simply think of OER and they think, oh, no cost. And that's it. And so clearing up some of those misconceptions was part of our work this last year. And so moving forward, we at this point do not have one designated OER coordinator. And so we recognize that this work, in order to continue the momentum of the last year, it would be very beneficial to have someone in that position to both coordinate OER low cost, no cost efforts, and also negotiate with the bookstore, be a point person with the bookstore to see what can be done to lower costs for some of those courses that can't find a way around requiring cost materials for their courses. So those are just a few of things that we've accomplished over the last year and a little bit previous to last year.
That's quite fantastic. And we'd love to hear more about everything. Let's go north again to Yavapai and hear from Megan about the open education scene at Yavapai College.
At Yavapai College, we've been doing OER for over 3 years, but really formalized the initiative in fall of 2020. Which correlated with our Higher Learning Commission Quality Initiative Report. So we put together a whole quality initiative research study, and it was a 2-year study that concluded in spring of 2022. So we submitted the report and have some great findings and research that we got from it. But through that work, we were able to apply for an open textbook pilot grant, which I mentioned earlier, focusing on OER through the rural community colleges, because a lot of people don't, or, you know, looking at the state of Arizona, realize that, you know, 83% of Arizona geographically is classified as rural. And within those counties, 12 counties, you know, it is, there's a discrepancy between people living in poverty. And so 15% of people living in poverty in rural Arizona compared to 12% in the urban areas. And then also there is a discrepancy between higher education. So 21% of persons over the age of 25 in rural Arizona have a bachelor's degree compared to 33%. So that, you know, the cost of textbooks and the cost of higher learning for the population in rural Arizona is really causing, you know, them to not be able to earn maybe a degree or certificate to move along, and then also being able to get jobs to have a standard of living. So that's why the grant was really written to focus on colleges within rural Arizona. And we were so excited to be funded. And we recently received additional funding. So now our grant is a total of $2 million. With that, we were able to add Cochise College. So we were able to really become a consortium of rural Arizona community colleges, which we're very excited about. And so the grant started in fall of 2021. So we just concluded our first year of the project. And we have done amazing work. I am like amazed at how much has happened in 1 year. It was a lot of foundational work. We have a variety of colleges. We have colleges that have, you know, have been doing some OER for a while. We have Yavapai College, who's been doing it for a few years now. And then we have colleges that are just starting out. And so we created consortium-wide standards. We created procedures that other institutions can kind of adopt and adapt, so they're not having to start from square one, essentially, and being able to utilize that foundation. And then what we're also trying to work on is really looking at cross-institutional collaboration, because one of the reasons we strategically wrote the grant for rural colleges is because they're smaller. Some of our institutions have one faculty member in a discipline. And so to say, oh, we need you to work on OER is a lot of work. And so being able to collaborate with faculty from other institutions will really help to expedite those courses and those materials to be available. And then part of the grant is also having a shared repository. And so we are using OER Commons through ISCME for our shared repository. We have a hub, and on that hub is where all of the material is going to be located. And so that way, anyone in the state, but, you know, anyone in the general public, I think we've had people from multiple states accessing our hub, even from out of the country accessing our hub so far, just in 1 year, which is exciting, so that people can access the materials, they can adopt them and use them within their own classes. So really trying to increase access to OER, not only increasing the development of OER. So that's some of the work that's happening on the consortium level. And it's, you know, we're just starting out, but I see some big moves happening.
That is so impressive. And we want to hear about all of this. And so as we're talking, if folks think of it, if you can drop web links into the chat, I will include them in the article. But now let's, like, how do we like describe Maricopa and everything going on there in a short time? But I definitely want to hear from both Lisa and Matthew to give a sense about what's going on in the system around Phoenix.
Absolutely. You know, we started almost 10 years ago. It'll be 10 years in 2023, which we're very excited to celebrate. And when we started, we were really looking at increasing access and cost savings with our Maricopa Millions project. And a few years ago, Matthew was able to rebrand us to Open Maricopa, which lended itself to a lot of really good work in regard to open education practices, taking it beyond cost savings and access to equity, to inclusiveness. The work that, Matthew, can you talk a little bit about the competencies that you developed, the open ed competencies that you led that work? Because that's really,
one of the things. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so as Lisa was saying, you know, the idea of transitioning the brand from Maricopa Millions, which was primarily, I mean, just right in the name, was like the the implication that it was about saving students money, which was great because, you know, Lisa and the team that founded Maricopa Millions set out to save students $5 million over the course of the first 5 years. And it ended up being almost like $13 million that, you know, we were able to, we estimate students save because of faculty decisions to use OER or low cost, no cost materials. But yeah, the idea was that, you know, it was time to evolve the project. You know, the initiative was, you know, it was deeply institutionalized. I was in the role of the first person to be chosen in the role of the OER coordinator for the district. So I was fully reassigned to that, that work. And one of the things that I really wanted to try to do was focus on pedagogy and equity and all of these other things that we can use open education to try to, you know, address basically. And so beyond the cost savings. So one of the things we did, and I know you wanted me to talk about the competencies, but I'll say real quick, you know, initially we had a lot of grants that were focused on building entire courses. And a lot of that material was also focused on, you know, trying to bring costs down for students. So it could be, you know, there could be a lot of low cost, no cost, you know, kind of product there. So one of the things that we did was we tried to reimagine our grants for a period of time so that we were giving faculty the opportunity to identify gaps in the curriculum so that it wasn't necessarily about building a textbook up from the ground. It was more about like, okay, well, this needs to be made more accessible, or this could be, you know, made more diverse, or this could be something where we could apply renewable assignments, something along those lines. So it was kind of like, you know, this, we were thinking about it as like, you know, trying to contribute to the buffet of materials that we are offering our faculty and the world access to. But then beyond that, we also saw value in potentially a lot of value in trying to build up our capacity to provide professional development opportunities, and to not just those in Maricopa, but those potentially across the region or across the world. And we came across a set of professional development competencies that had been developed at an old open education consortium summit. And I don't remember where it was, but it was like French language. And, but they had created this draft of open education competencies. And we used that, and it was a Creative Commons license. So we used that as a basis. And we spent a couple years, actually, the Open Maricopa team was providing feedback on what kind of adaptations we would like to make. And then we took that to our Arizona Regional OER conference and invited the public also to provide feedback on different, you know, what's missing, what other kinds of things do we want here. And the product of all those iterations was this, a pretty, like, it's a pretty detailed set of competencies. I don't remember how many there are exactly in the end, how many specific learning objectives ended up in that list. But what it does is it provides anyone who is wanting to adopt it. We like to think of it as something we're going to use as the basis or are using as the basis of our professional development opportunities in Maricopa. But we also saw it as an opportunity to try to provide a baseline framework that, you know, if we were going to continue collaborating with or, you know, pursue collaboration with institutions across the state and beyond, then maybe this is like a common shared language that we can use to really focus some of those efforts. So does that kind of answer what you were getting at, Lisa?
Absolutely, Matthew. And so that was some of the really good work that led us to where we are now. And so where we are now is that we're doing strategic planning to figure out where we go next. We've been doing this, it'll be 10 years. We've had a lot of lessons learned. And so our team, our district-wide team has been working on creating a new mission, vision, values. Our strategic planning goals are around faculty engagement, the infrastructure needed, and looking at zero textbook cost and affordable degree cost. So we're continuing that work, and we're really excited about some of this. Things like establishing our platforms. We use MyOpenMath, and we use Pressbooks. We've branded those MOER, Maricopa OER for Math, and then our Mod Press, Maricopa On Demand Press. But we're really looking at getting these solidified and leveling them up a bit. And one of the big projects that we're working on is that we were the first college to tag in our student information system, which we were really proud of, but we tagged low cost, no cost, and we polled our students for that low cost value, but it's not giving us the data that we need. And so we're looking at what do we need to adjust to make sure that we get the data that we need. We don't know what materials are low cost. We don't know what materials are no cost, and we don't know what materials are OER. So we're really looking at diving into what definitions do we need, who needs to be communicated those definitions, and how can we collect the data that we need from our student information system. So that's a little bit about what we're doing at Maricopa.
Exciting, Lisa. It sounded like you had one more thing you needed to say.
Yeah, like one other thing that we're doing with Pima that's really exciting is the UNSDG fellowship. So maybe I can throw it over to Josie and she can talk a little bit about the fellowship. She and Matthew have been very involved in that.
I'd love to speak more if this is a good time to go there.
Absolutely.
Maybe Lisa, before we begin, because it kind of started, Pima's involvement kind of started with OER Arizona back in 2021, February of 2021. So perhaps if you or Matthew could provide probably Matthew would be as a coordinator, if you could provide just a brief update because of Maricopa's coordination and initiation of all of those efforts, and then I can jump in.
Well, sure. I'd be happy to talk about that, but I have to say that it really, so when you reference OER Arizona, I think specifically you're talking about the Arizona Regional OER Conference and the work that we've done through that conference to try to connect people across the state. And we invite, you know, actually every year since the first year we've had it, we've had people, we've had at least one person from outside of Arizona on the planning committee as well. So it is kind of definitely regional, not just Arizona. But I have to say that actually grew out of something that Lisa and the people who were in leadership at Maricopa Millions before I took over at, you know, for that period, they had these annual OER dialogue days where, you know, they would invite someone to come and they were Maricopa focused. I mean, it was basically for Maricopa faculty. But one year we had Dr. Rajiv Jangiani as our keynote, and we invited people from Arizona State University, University of Arizona. I think we may have had some people from some of the other community colleges. I think we had some folks from Yavapai there that day. And it was pretty clear at the end of that event that there was a lot of excitement across the state, and that this kind of thing needed to be more kind of generally promoted, publicly promoted, so that it wasn't just like, hey, this is for Maricopa folks, right? So we started the Arizona Regional OER Conference, and we are now in our fifth year. So that's really super exciting. And we have a pretty diverse set of folks involved in the planning committee, as I already kind of mentioned. And we typically have somewhere between, you know, 200-300 people register for the conference, and maybe about 100 or 200 who actually, you know, participate. But that's but we're pretty happy with that as it is, and that was a way for us to try to start making these connections, because we saw so much potential in obviously just connecting with the open education community in general is super important, as we all know. I mean, the platform, the open education kind of, you know, the central value of collaboration and transparency, you know, that kind of openness that we bring lends itself really well to this kinds of public sharing. And when we have similar, we're all in the same state. We are all dealing with the same kind of, you know, lack of funding for community colleges from the state government, for example, that kind of thing. Now, there are certain things that we share here. And, you know, the student populations may differ from rural colleges to the urban colleges, but at the same time, you know, we do have a lot of shared goals. And so this was something that we thought would be very helpful for that. And then I think as a result of the connection that we made with Pima through the conference, we were able to, Maricopa had already become involved in the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and Pedagogy Fellowship, which started at Montgomery College in Maryland and involved Kwantlen Polytechnic University up in Vancouver, or in the Vancouver area. And then we were invited to join that. And the year after that, Pima joined through, you know, learning about it from our experience. And so this, it's just part of that same message. And now I don't even know, I'm not on the leadership team for that anymore. So maybe Lisa knows, but I don't want to put her on the spot. But I think that there's like at least 6 or 7 different institutions now, you know, in North America that are involved in that fellowship. And so it's just this really cool thing, not just that we are sharing it, you know, with our colleagues down in Tucson, but it's also that we're part of this kind of North American dialogue about open pedagogy and how, you know, those kinds of meaningful learning experiences can really get students engaged in what's going on in the world and how, you know, we can try to improve everyone's, you know, lives or provide some opportunities to know more about those, that potential.
So what happened is, so I attended at in 2021, the Arizona OER Regional Conference, and I attended a showcase in which I saw several of the artifacts, the renewable assignments that were produced through the UNSDG Open Pedagogy Faculty Fellowship. And I was fully just enamored. And I immediately thought, Pima needs to be part of this fellowship. And so I started doing searches, sending emails, and one of the emails ended up getting routed, fortunately, to Debbie Baker at Maricopa, who's an instructional designer. And we spoke, and then Debbie Baker then connected me with the fellowship opportunity. And Pima was able to participate with 12 fellows in that 2021 cohort. So because of that conference, we're now involved in promoting and providing, facilitating that work, being part of the leadership team for this wonderful opportunity. And now we're entering we'll begin recruiting for our third year this upcoming winter. So it's been just a beautiful experience, and it brings together so many different things. In Arizona, because of some general education changes that were agreed upon by the tri-state, the NAU, ASU, and University of Arizona down in Tucson, general education is shifting, and along with that, there is a greater emphasis on interdisciplinary curriculum. There is a greater emphasis on high impact practices, collaboration, project-based learning, all of those different things, critical thinking, and all of those skills are part embedded into this fellowship. As what it consists of is this partnership between these institutions, and then faculty from those institutions, the fellows are partnered up with each other based on UNSDGs that they highlighted as particularly significant and of interest. And they'll be partnered up with someone from a different discipline. So you might get someone from social sciences matched with someone from astronomy. And so their challenge is to create 3 renewable assignments that they will then administer in their courses the next fall. And so out of that has come this just tremendous collaborative work between students and faculty, and faculty and faculty at other institutions. And it just embodies so much of where education is shifting more and more so.
And I know from the conversations we had with Shinta Hernandez and Michael Mills, I mean, one of the great things about the fellowship is how the participants work across not only disciplines, but between these different locations. And it's just amazing how that is still pulled off as it has grown. So it's such a wonderful model.
Yeah, between countries, in fact, because I know Matthew was working with a faculty member up in Canada. And when we did our open pedagogy adventure last summer, summer of 2021, we had that faculty member come in, and it was amazing. Yeah, really something.
And I can say too, with this theme of collaboration, because of that, becoming familiar with people at Maricopa, it's been a point of contact, it's established this little community. And I, throughout last year doing this goal time, I reached out to Debbie Baker and said, hey, what does Maricopa Millions tell me more? What can we do? And then Debbie described some of the work and the OER coordinator position that Maricopa provided for, I believe, Matthew, you were the first in that role. And so anyway, it's been just, it's like a kind of a conduit or a central connection point, that conference, between all of these different OER voices, both within the state and then outside of the state to continue this collaborative work and embody, while embodying open pedagogy at its core, open sharing, open information, open connections, and sort of a decentralization of any authoritative voice.
And Josie, I could just jump in and say that, you know, that's the reason why we at Open Maricopa have decided that, you know, it's time to really try to formalize this as like a statewide, or maybe even regional, but primarily like a statewide network. Because what we've had so far over the last 5 years of this conference is, you know, that's kind of the only formal event that we have where we come together and we share. But then there's connections, you know, there's like, you make that connection and now you're part of the UNSDG fellowship, or we send an email to this person and get a little bit of information there on the side and here and there. So it seems like, you know, the Arizona Regional OER Conference, and I actually said this at the, you know, when I welcomed everybody to the conference back in 2019, I believe it was, or maybe it was 2020. I think it was 2020. It was right before the lockdown. So it was like literally a week before everything was
lockdown. I was there.
Right. And I think it was at that conference that when I welcomed everyone, I wanted to clarify that OER Arizona is not the conference. Like, the conference is just it's an event where we get together and we share things, you know, and it's a great opportunity for networking. But OE Arizona, it's not like me or like us either. It's not even just the people in that room at the time. It really is like all of these practitioners, all of these advocates for open education across the state who are just kind of on their own for the most part, collaborating and communicating across institutions. And so what we're trying to do right now, and I shouldn't just say trying, the work that we're doing right now is to really try to formalize that and create a way for us to, you know, formalize not just the conference and try to keep that going so that it's more sustainable and maybe also could be hosted by other institutions who might be part of the network and things like that, but also try to provide some sort of more formalized way for us all to communicate throughout the year and collaborate on projects and collaborate on offering professional development. And so, and there's a variety of kind of goals that the OER Arizona network is going to have, but it really is about, you know, trying to support the communication and collaboration that we are already kind of doing, but just as individuals. And it's going to be nice if there's a little bit more formality to that so that it's kind of almost institutionalized in a sense. And just for the general public, you know, there are a lot, just FYI, you know, to everyone, there are a lot of states in the United States who have from the, even just like the State Department of Education has like an OER task force or an OER initiative. And, you know, so there are some states that have that. We don't have that. So without that, we felt at Maricopa, like, you know, we have already been lending, you know, whatever, if you want to call it wisdom or experience, whatever it is, you know, we've been sharing that to the extent that we feel like we can. And we've, in the process, learning a lot from all of the other people at these other colleges, yourself, Megan and Josie included, obviously. And so it's like a perfect opportunity for us, because we have to admit that we're a massive community college district and we have some resources that a lot of the other colleges don't. So we can start some of that work and try to create something that will, you know, kind of roll into the future, and that, you know, maybe I'm the one that's like spearheading the starting of it, but I envision it very quickly being led by somebody else, maybe even somebody not even at Maricopa, because I want to see this as something that's owned by open education practitioners across the state, not by Maricopa or myself.
Yeah, I really appreciate the leadership of Maricopa, obviously, you know, having started so long ago and bringing forth this. And of course, through Lisa's leadership, you're now a consortium member of CCCOER. And as part of that, some of the rural colleges have come in as members, and we've been thrilled to welcome Central Arizona and Mojave. So wonderful collaborations, and I can see this being, you know, this ball being tossed, or the baton, perhaps is a better expression. But what I wanted to ask Megan about, how do you see the collaboration working between your rural colleges that you're working with, of course, Yavapai specifically, and these more, I hesitate to call senior, I'm the one with the white hair up here, but tell us a little bit more about how that collaboration is working.
You know, it's a great question. And I think, you know, long term, it's a great opportunity for sustainability. That's the way I'm looking at it is, you know, the Open Textbooks for Rural Arizona, it was a grant. It was written the way it was written because there is a clear need in whenever you're writing a grant, you want to write a grant so that you're showing a clear need. And there is a clear need in comparison between rural Arizona and the urban areas. So it wasn't meant to disclude anyone. It was just a strategy for getting the funding. But it is a great opportunity for the rural colleges to really formalize and build upon what has already been done at the state. But I see a statewide initiative or a statewide collaborative being a sustainable option, because that's really the goal of any grant, is to make it sustainable. And so being able to collaborate, bring in Pima, Maricopa, and become a statewide collaborative is really the long-term option, I think, or possibility. And so it's great to see the work happening now. And I'm excited to continue collaborating. I know I've seen emails from Matthew, and so I'm excited to see where that's going to go, and how we can leverage what has already been built at Maricopa and Pima and what is currently being built through the Open Textbooks for Rural Arizona, because there's no reason to duplicate efforts, but to constantly build upon what we're all doing. So I think moving in that direction is going to be very smart and strategic and sustainable for long-term efforts.
Do you see any immediate next steps for collaboration?
I mean, I'm hoping that I know that we've seen some emails come through. So I'm, you know, getting some meetings scheduled. Where can we go moving forward? Definitely, I think we should hopefully get that moving forward as quickly as possible. You know, our grant is a total of 3 years, and we're currently in year two. So, you know, it'd be great to kind of see where we can start leveraging, start transitioning if needed, and see where we can go from there. So I'm hoping that Matthew and I will be able to further connect on that moving forward, because I know that there's been emails going out and everything.
That's great. I wonder, we talked earlier, and maybe Lisa can talk about this new relationship with the Doers organization group that you were telling us about earlier.
Absolutely. So Doers 3 is driving OER sustainability for student success. And their purpose is really about having member organizations, their goal and their purpose, I'm reading, the promise of high quality, accessible and sustainable OER implementations to achieve equity and student success at scale. And their work has been around, they created an equity blueprint. They've been looking at tenure and promotion. They're looking at data and how we can look at that from regional areas. And so this work of the Doers Network has been limited to, they're working with regional organizations. And so those of us in Arizona, because we didn't have a regional organization, couldn't necessarily, we could benefit from the work they were doing, but we couldn't contribute to their work. And so now Maricopa, on behalf of our OER network that we are developing for Arizona that Matthew is leading, has become a member. Arizona has become a member of Doers. And so we have a lot of opportunity as we put this new collaborative or network together to have different organizations or institutions within Arizona participate in these really critically important projects. I mean, when we think about the tenure process, when we think about this equity rubric, there's so much work that we can do, and the next steps that come out of Doers in terms of looking at what's the next big challenge in OER that we need to face. Now we have, those of us in Arizona can have a voice towards that and help. Which is really exciting and fun. And it's something that as we have this organization or networking established, you know, we can plug people into these different roles. So I know we're running out of time. So that's a brief answer for you.
That's really good. And obviously, if you have, I'm going to sit here for a couple hours because I'm just having a great time understanding what's going on. And it's fascinating. And it's like, there's so many things going on. I wonder, If possible, if you can sort of give like a barometer reading, like among the faculty across your institutions, and for students too, like what do you see in terms of the increasing awareness and understanding of open pedagogy as a praxis? Because we can make and understand the needs for the OER material in terms of the benefits, but like what about getting across the acceptance and appreciation and willingness to try open pedagogy approaches?
So I've been giving this some thought, and I can't wait until the day we have a filter in our SIS, our student information system, based on open pedagogy practices being used in the course. I can't wait till we get to that point. I don't think we're there yet. I think that from a student perspective, they're really interested in access and the lower cost. They would love to see more inclusiveness, but they're not shopping for their classes based on that yet. But that's what I can't wait for. I have my little crystal ball. I know it's in our future, and I can't wait for that. I recently was doing a focus group with some students, and when they found out about open pedagogy, their response was, I could leave a legacy for future students. And to me, that was super exciting.
I'll follow. It's a tough question to answer, partly because open pedagogy encompasses other terms we're already using, like high impact practices, like active learning, so many of these different things. So I think that I can say that one of the things I've appreciated about this conversation we've had is that it has modeled or reflected a very open pedagogical approach, a very kind of, we've chimed in, we've learned from each other. I know that I've certainly learned a lot and would love to learn more. And so I think that the more that we model these kinds of practices, the more that we demonstrate them institutionally, and it just becomes a part of a way of being and doing and creating this openness, promoting this openness, facilitating this openness, we'll see greater opportunities for that expansion. And while working not to become too embedded in that term of open pedagogy, but recognizing that open pedagogy encompasses so many of these different terms.
Yeah, at Yavapai College, where, you know, it's still such a new concept. I mean, not new, but new for practitioners, I think. And so we're definitely starting to see more faculty inquire about it and starting to explore the ideas and how it can be implemented in their classroom. So I do, like Lisa said, see it coming up and excited and for when that will happen, because more faculty are getting intrigued about it. And so we'll see. It should be hopefully in the future.
Yeah. And Megan, I hope that, you know, you get a chance to share some of the online webinars that we have at CCCOER with your faculty at Yavapai and throughout your network, because open pedagogy is something that comes up over and over again with through our member surveys. And we just had one last month, which was amazing. And I can send you the link, but they're more fun to attend live. But we do record all of them, and they had some great examples. And I know sometimes when it's the right discipline, it's a great time to invite, you know, somebody from nursing, because we have somebody from nursing presenting, and people can really relate. So I hope, since we can't be in person, that's our next best.
Yes, we're doing pretty well. Yeah.
I was going to say, thank you, Una. I was definitely actually on that one, and I did share it with some colleagues as well. It was a very good webinar.
Well, thanks to a wonderful professional development team that we have.
All right. We really want to thank Megan and Josie and Lisa and Matthew for giving us this never enough time to do a tour of Arizona. And I think we got a sense, like from our intros, about like understanding, appreciating the diversity of landscapes of Arizona. And so you've all done this fantastic job of showing that same diversity and dynamicism in the efforts in open education. So thank you very much for being here. And thank you for those listening to this episode of OEG Voices. This is a podcast that we do at Open Education Global. And I like to throw in a different open license music track appropriate to an episode. And I dug around the Free Music Archive and I found this beautiful track called Cadillac Desert. Not to be confused with the book about water rights that was forwarded to me when I lived in Arizona, but it's by an artist named William Tyler, licensed under attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. And so you'll find this episode at our site, voices.oeglobal.org, and we hope you engage in some follow-up conversation with our Arizona colleagues in our OEG Connect community. And so anybody out there, let us know of someone that you think we should, you know, bring onto the show or a topic, etc. So we just want to bring to you more voices like these Arizona voices we had the pleasure of hearing today. So thank you very much. Thank you, Una. This has been fantastic. Let's do more community colleges here, okay?
Absolutely. Yeah.